Hey, everybody, where did all the baby formula go? And we are joined by Dr. Ben Carson, author of the new book, Created Equal. Why is it the country I grew up in 10 years ago has vanished? Something really worth thinking about. Dr. Carson and I play around with that question, especially when it comes to quote-unquote racial relations. Who's actually stoking this sense of racial disharmony? Well, Dr. Carson, one of the great Americans alive, helps us go through that. Email me directly, freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA and come to our Young Women's Leadership Summit, tpusa.com/YWLS. That's tpusa.com/YWLS. Our Young Women's Leadership Summit have 3,000 plus young women, top conservative speakers. It's a celebration of all things conservatism and what it really means to be a strong woman in America. Alex Clark will be there. The great Candace Owens will be there. Sarah Palin, Ali Stuckey, and more. tpusa.com/YWLS. That's tpusa.com/YWLS. Start a chapter today at tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today. And as always, email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. We've talked about how the Republican Party is becoming the parents' party, about how moms and dads are rising up to fight for their children's education. They're pushing back against all the indoctrination that is happening in their schools. But a new development is making the Republican Party parents' party argument even easier. Now, yes, we have a wide open southern border. We have double digit inflation. But I saw this story creeping up kind of on some at first fringier websites and people sending me links. I was like, I don't know if that's true. And I started texting around and people said, Charlie, this is totally happening. Now, what's interesting is that if journalists were doing their job, they would have saw this story 3 weeks ago. And if the administration was doing their job, they would have saw this problem very recently. Now, what's the problem I'm talking about? I'm talking about baby formula. Now, this is a problem created by the government. This is not some sort of act of God. This is not some sort of tsunami or earthquake. This is something that was deliberately done by the government. Now, whether they did this intentionally or not, we don't know, but it was deliberate. It was a force of action and a reaction that came from it. And this is exposing just how corrupt our federal government is. This is showing how incompetent our federal government is and how lobbyists destroy, pollute, contaminate any sort of process of meaningful public policy in our country. So there's a baby formula shortage. How did that happen? Well, there's a company called Abbott Laboratories. Abbott Laboratories is actually headquartered near Waukegan, Illinois, Chicago, Illinois. Their actual corporate headquarters where they were founded is actually northern, near there, near kind of Gurnee, Illinois. And so Abbott Laboratories is a very powerful company. Abbott Laboratories did $34 billion in revenue last year alone. Abbott Laboratories made huge money in the midst of the Chinese Fauci coronavirus on testing. I don't think they got into vaccines, but on every other thing you could possibly make money on, they were front and center on that. They're a medical technology company, and some of what they do is perfectly fine. But then you go to their website. If you go to Abbott.com, do you know what they say? The first thing they say, clinical trials have a diversity problem. That's why we here at Abbott are taking action to make research more inclusive. And so you could just tell they're part of not just the medical industrial complex, they're part of all the other kind of diversity, equity, inclusion, or diversity, inclusion, equity, DEI sort of movement that has done so much damage to our country and continues to do that. So you go to their website, it's all this nonsense. But what most people don't know is almost all of our baby formula is created by Abbott. is that Abbott is the baby formula kind of centerpiece. They are the, if you were to shut down, let's say, Coca-Cola, you would have a soft drink beverage crisis. There's like PepsiCo and Coca-Cola, and that's it for the major creators. The same goes for baby formula. So the federal government came in months ago, I think weeks ago, I get the exact date, and they shut down Abbott's factories. Now, why'd they do that? Well, because of a potential contamination outbreak. That's fine. I actually want that to happen. You don't want to have contaminated baby formula. People died as a result of it, allegedly. Okay, so what didn't happen is the next step, which is anyone in our government to say, wait a second, if we shut down the creator of 40% of our creation of baby formula in our country, who's going to replace that exactly? No one thought that through because we have clowns running our government, far too distracted on getting kickbacks and getting some sort of private and secret deals. So instead, the federal government just kind of lets it happen, and this is a government-created crisis. Now, how we got to a place ever where we are now dependent on foreign nation baby formula shows exactly the lie of foreign internationalist trade. There are certain things we should make in our country. Vitamin C, we really don't, we should. We should make very basic drugs like penicillin, which we really don't. How about baby formula? And this is one of the big problems with the free traders, of which I used to call myself one. The free traders say, well, you can get it for less from other countries. Okay, I agree, that's probably true. Is it the same quality? And what happens when things other than price start to factor in? What happens when all of a sudden you go to war with a country? Or what if China doesn't want us to have baby formula anymore? Or whatever country that we might need to. Now, mind you, the baby formula industry lobbied for years to weaken the bacteria safety testing standards, Abbott being one of them. Abbott Labs, which is Abbott Nutrition, which helps, is under kind of their whole system, their whole conglomerate, I should say. They have that facility in Sturgis, Michigan. And in Sturgis, Michigan, this is where the outbreak happened and the FDA shut them down. Now, mind you, why wouldn't Abbott also say, wait a second, if you're going to shut us down, there's going to be a baby formula shortage in our country? Why did no one actually think that through? Well, I don't trust our government at all. I've become very cynical and skeptical. I know you have as well, but this is very basic stuff. Let's go to cut 9. Help can't come soon enough. 8 states have more than 50% of formula out of stock. Play cut 9.
Can't come soon enough for new parents from coast to coast.
It's hard. It's really hard. It's sad. It's scary. I mean, it's super scary. It's the only thing she can eat.
My husband's running to 3 or 4 different stores just trying to find something.
An average 43% of formula varieties are unavailable nationwide. And 8 states plus D.C. have more than 50% of various kinds of formula out of stock.
50% of kinds of formula out of stock. Cut 1, Jake Tapper teeing off on the Biden administration over the baby formula shortage. Play cut 1.
This is hardly the first time that there's this slow-rolling anticipated disaster happening exactly as forewarned, whether it's the exit from Afghanistan, the border surge. The Biden administration does not want to call this a crisis. You just called it a crisis. It's a crisis, right?
I mean, I think if you're a parent that can't get formula for your kid, it's a crisis.
Of course, it's a crisis. The Biden regime has found a way to further irritate American parents, not just the double digits they're paying more inflation, not just the sometimes triple digits to go fill up a tank of gas, not just the deteriorating public schools and the CRT and the nonsense that's happening in our schools, but now the inability to be able to feed their babies. Look, we've known for a while that this regime does not have a pro-family focus. If you look very carefully and you kind of look at the messaging, basically the only solution the left has for the baby formula problem is just to go have more abortions. That's basically the only solution that they're putting forward. It's like, well, we just need less people, I suppose, like just have more abortions. Besides that, there is no solution. Why doesn't Joe Biden invoke the Defense Production Act to go create more baby formula. Why wouldn't Joe Biden do that? Joe Biden laughs and scoffs at it. He says, well, look, if we were mind readers, we could have saw this coming. He said, if we could have saw in the future, well, but your own government shut down the baby formula plants and you guys didn't think this through. Of course they don't. We're being run by clowns. You know that. The very same clowns that want to further implicate us in the war in Ukraine, which is exactly why we shouldn't get involved. These people don't know what they're doing. You shouldn't trust them with anything. Nothing significant. They keep our border wide open. They can't do the most basic things our government is supposed to do. And we're supposed to go push more power to these people? We're supposed to give them the ability to be able to go declare war on a nuclear power? They can't get baby formula to people. And some people say, well, it's not the government's role. It's the government that shut down the factory, and we were dependent on Abbott because Abbott has some of the most talented lobbyists in Washington, D.C., being a very, very valuable company. Now your child can't get baby formula. Pay very close attention, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. We're now facing severe food shortages, high inflation, and outrageous fuel prices. Some people are saying there's a looming recession, and possibly things could get even worse. Are you prepared? Do you have enough emergency food stored up for months and months? If not, go to preparewithkirk.com. You'll save $150 on a three-month emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply. Be sure to get at least one kit for each person in your family. Your three-month emergency food kit gives you a wide variety of delicious meals every day, breakfast, lunch, dinner, drinks, and snacks for 3 full months per person. If the worst happens and you don't have this emergency food kit, you'll regret it. So go to preparewithkirk.com right now to save $150 per three-month food kit. Act quickly because these kits are selling like hotcakes. Your order ships fast and arrives discreetly in unmarked boxes. You get free shipping as well. So go to preparewithkirk.com. That's preparewithkirk.com. You're 9 meals away from anarchy. Prepare yourself at preparewithkirk.com. So, do you trust the school you send your child to? Do you think they are doing what they say they are doing? Well, as we talk more about the parents' party, of course, the Democrats are the pervert party, it's become more and more clear, we should ask questions about our local institutions, schools, communities. So here's a new clip that has been surfaced. An elementary, it's a longer clip, but it's an elementary school teacher group bragging about how they ignore parents' requests to refer to their children by their given names and pronouns. Look, there are some phenomenal teachers out there. There are some great teachers. It just so happens that there are some really bad teachers too. In fact, I would say there's a disproportionate amount of bad people that decide to be teachers. That doesn't mean there's not awesome teachers. We have some that listen to this program. God bless you. But there's some real scumbags that decide to become teachers. And it's a mixed bag, like all things in life. But why we're not able to fire these people because of this antiquated tenure system? So these are elementary school teachers bragging about how they just ignore parents. Whose children are they exactly? Democrats are playing with some very, very tricky things here. Not being able to get baby formula to mothers and outwardly ignoring parents' requests on what to call children? Have they thought through how this is exactly going to play out? I don't think they care. I really don't. Play cut 14.
Caregivers asked, I actually referred to their child's name in an IEP meeting using the name that the child had asked to be referred to and their chosen pronouns. And the caregivers reacted really strongly and then followed up with me and the principal and said, like, I noticed that you were using a different name than my child's given name at birth and the pronouns that we gave them. And I'm respectfully asking that you use the name and the pronouns that we gave them. I chose my words carefully and I said, I hear you. I hear what you're saying. I tried to really like affirm what the caregiver was asking me. In my classroom, I will refer to your child by whatever name and pronouns that they've told me they feel most comfortable with. I just told them no, like respectfully no. And because I had my principal and my super's support, there wasn't much they could do.
Yeah, I mean, who's to say that parents actually know what they're doing? If you send your child to a public school, teachers will privately be bragging and celebrating that they're actually in charge. Do you notice they don't call them parents? They call them caregivers. They don't call them parents. They call them people that are just temporarily guiding them. Every mark of a tyranny, or a mark of a tyranny, is to break the bond between a parent and a child. This is one of the reasons why the baby formula thing doesn't actually bother them. Strong families are a bulwark against totalitarianism. Now, this was a Zoom meeting held April 26th, and it was how these teachers were bragging about how to ignore their parents' requests over pronoun use. This is a fellow panelist, a fifth grade teacher from Massachusetts, who, yes, that was their real voice, hard to believe. The educator then proceeded to describe instances where he ignored parents' requests to call their child by certain pronouns. With us is an exceptional American, one of my all-time favorite people in public life, someone who has lived an incredible life and is an articulate and wise voice for how we actually solve some of these problems in our country. He is the author of the phenomenal new book that we have up on our beautiful new screen here, Created Equal, The Painful Past, Confusing Present, and Hopeful Future of Race in America by Dr. Ben Carson. Dr. Carson, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Thank you so much for having me, Charlie, and thanks for being a patriot.
Thank you. So Dr. Carson, talk about this book. You and I had a phone call a couple weeks ago, and you said something that really resonated with me. I thought about it since our conversation. You said, we have to fix this race problem because it's going to be our undoing. Can you elaborate on that and talk about the book?
Well, you know, the reason I wrote the book is because you'll probably notice in the last few years, everything seems to circle back to race, whether it has anything to do with it or not. And people are using the race issue as a cudgel to beat people into submission. To make white people feel guilty, to make black people feel like victims and other minorities to feel like victims, and just splitting us apart. Why is that important? The United States of America has been such an important stabilizing force in the world. Before we became a great power, there were all these despots all over the world stomping on anybody who was weaker than them and taking advantage of them. And that moderated to a significant degree when we were very strong. Now, as we're getting weak again, you can see the despot starting to rise up again. It's very, very problematic. But the interesting thing that is going on is people are trying to make it seem like the race relations in our country are deteriorating, are getting worse, and they're creating a lot of problems. And in a way, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Because if you teach our children that the most important determinant of what happens in their lives is the color of their skin, obviously you are going to create some resentment. You know, a friend of mine's granddaughter came home not long ago crying and said, "Grandpa, am I evil because I'm white?" She was 8 years old. Where are they getting that stuff from? Obviously, they're getting it from school. This is very damaging to children as they're trying to develop their self-image. And they're also being told you might not be a girl or a boy. You know, these are very damaging things for young people who are simply trying to grow up and become normal individuals. It's not going to happen unless we become very, very proactive and get involved. And then this whole white guilt thing, you've got to realize the impact of that. If you can get a whole bunch of people feeling guilty, then they're not likely to say as much about defund the police or about letting violent criminals out to terrorize your neighborhood or not securing your southern border because they don't want you to call them a bad name, so they just sit in the corner with their head down. This is just awful that's going on, but we see the impact of it. And then if you can convince minorities that they're victims, if you think you're a victim, you are a victim. And it's so unnecessary. And then just to conclude this thought, you know, just in my lifetime, there's been such a dramatic change in this country. When I was a youngster, it was a big deal when a black person came on television in a non-servile role. You called everybody into the living room to look at it. This was something. And now that would be ridiculous. And now we have black admirals and generals and CEOs of Fortune 500 companies and heads of foundations, heads of colleges, even Ivy League schools. We've elected a black president twice. We have a black vice president. I mean, this is all just in my lifetime. It is an absolute amazing transition. And yet there are those who are trying to say the United States is evil, is systemically racist. If it were, why would people be forming caravans trying to get in here? You know, they would, and as soon as they got here, they'd call all their friends and say, don't come here. Mm-hmm. That's not what's happening. And what the left is trying to convince people of, don't believe what you see. Don't believe what you hear. Don't believe what your heart tells you. Just listen to us. We will tell you what to believe.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much there to unpack that I think is important. And I kind of want to zero in on one thing you said, which is that by every objective measurement, you know, America racially has been now more integrated, has more success for people of any background, if they so choose, to apply themselves in a way that we know success can, you know, the affluence curve can, you know, reach people of any background. And yet we're talking about race more than ever before. I'm kind of really over it, I'll be very honest, you know, because anytime that I talk about how we should be colorblind and respect people for their soul and their spirit and their character and their choices, they're saying that is a white supremacist construct, right? And so what motivates this? I mean, what motivates I'm going to make sure I get this right. I believe it was the Smithsonian Museum, the African American Historical Museum. You probably remember this, two summers ago, that came out post George Floyd and said that being on time and talking properly and mathematics are all part of white colonialist, white supremacist, white Eurocentric culture. I mean, there's got to be a breaking point for this, right, Doctor?
It's incredible. Even when I was in high school, you know, it was people going around saying, you're trying to act white, you know, because I was a good student, you know, and I got good grades and I did all the appropriate things. And I would always shut them up by saying, well, if doing all those things is being white, then what's being black? Of course, they never had a good answer for that. But, you know, what's interesting today is we have this wealth gap, and it is real. You know, 5 to 10x white families versus black families in this country. However, if you look at Nigerian black families, Ghanaian black families in America, there's no wealth gap. Isn't that interesting? And what is it about those families? You go to a Nigerian family, you'll find that a bachelor's degree is the baseline. There's such an emphasis on education and on family structure. But if you look at traditional Black American families where those values are very important, education and family, you also find that there's little or no wealth gap. So is it possible that maybe we're looking at the wrong things? Maybe we're blaming the wrong
yes.
things.
Well, I think that's so smart. And so there was an article I read recently that made an argument that the people at the top levels of society, you know, that they have traded the kind of need for luxury goods for something called a luxury belief, which is something that you could say at a cocktail party or say to your friends or family. You don't actually believe it deep down, but it kind of sounds cool. Like, oh, America's systemically racist, or defund the police, even though the people that say that would never want to live under that. And not to overly racialize this, but these are mostly upper middle class white liberals. And do you find actually that a lot of this racial conversation, absent kind of the Ibram X. Kendi people and all that, but it's actually driven, in fact, the oxygen is really driven by upper middle class white people and less of kind of the grassroots of Black America that just care about raising their kids and having a better life? Do you find that to be true?
Oh, absolutely true. And a lot of them are liberal white individuals who, to me, manifest racism more than almost anybody, because they're the ones who try to determine what being Black is. You know, when President Biden said, if you have trouble deciding between me and Donald Trump, you ain't Black, that's about the most racist statement I've ever heard. And they're always trying to determine, you know, what you're supposed to think. And if you don't think that, and if you don't act that way, you're a race traitor. You know, you're Uncle Tom. I mean, it is unbelievable. And they can't even see it. They're so far gone, they don't even see how hypocritical they are.
Yeah. And so let's talk about your book, Created Equal. How do we solve this? I certainly haven't figured it out because I'm getting increasingly frustrated with it. What's our path forward towards the country I grew up in, Doctor, where we didn't talk about race all the time?
Absolutely. Well, I think we have to offer alternatives. Now, recognize the Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. We can't cede the teaching of our children to those who want to fundamentally change our country. We have to provide very good alternatives. One of the things that we do at American Cornerstone through our Little Patriots program is we have an online learning program, free of charge, by the way, because of generous sponsors, which teaches them about our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, our foundational principles, faith, liberty, community, and life. Has a little eagle called Liberty Eagle, who's the guide. Liberty Eagle, by the way, has a left wing and a right wing. Can't fly with a left wing, with two left wings or two right wings. Got to learn how to get along together. We got to learn how to talk to each other. And one of the points that I bring out very strongly in the book is that we have a choice to make. Are we going to build our future on our past failings, or are we going to build our future on our great successes? Mm-hmm. We get to make that choice. Obviously, if we look at our successes and don't throw away our failures, but we learn from our failures, we're going to go much further and much faster. But if we continue to look back and say, you did this to me, therefore yes. We ended, you know, how is that ever going to lead us to a good place? It can't possibly.
Yeah. And it's not, you know, the other side will say, well, it's about self-examination. Like, no, it's not. It's like about self-laceration at this point is what it is. It's like,
yeah, that's exactly
it. And please.
No, I just want to say, if we can just stop for a moment and think about who we are as human beings and think about this magnificent thing we have that's called the human brain, this most fantastic organ system in the universe. Billions and billions of neurons, hundreds of billions of interconnections can process more than 2 million bits of information in 1 second. Now, interestingly, if you take a human brain and you put it next to an animal, just say a dog, both of their brains topographically look similar. Frontal lobes, parietal lobes, temporal lobes, occipital lobes, cerebellum, brainstem, midbrain. However, the midbrain of the dog is much better developed than the human midbrain. What does a midbrain allow you to do? To react, to look at something and react to it. And that's why animals react a whole lot faster, cat-like reflexes. But people have much bigger, better developed frontal lobes where you engage in rational thought processing, extracting information from the past and present, integrating it into a plan, projecting it into the future, planning, strategizing, analyzing. And that's why we don't have to act like animals and just look at somebody's skin color and react to it. God has given us much higher processing capabilities than that. And why would we be teaching our children
to act
like animals?
That's so smart. So Dr. Carson, I went to a public high school in the suburbs of Chicago called Wheeling High School. It was 53% Hispanic, English as a second language. And so I grew up as a minority in the high school in the general population, and no one talked about race. No one cared about it. In fact, if anyone said anything that might have been racially insensitive, there was kind of a natural check and balance system. People say, hey, stop that. That's not cool. And we kind of moved on. We cared about, you know, what you wanted to do with your life, your character, kind of your soul, your spirit. How did we lose that, Dr. Carson, in 10 years? 10 years ago, yeah. I had my high school graduation. I feel like it's a totally different country.
Well, we don't talk about it anymore. I remember going to South Side of Chicago, Wendell Phillips High School, and one of the banks had purchased copies of Gifted Hands, my first book, for all the students. When I walked in there, you would have thought Michael Jackson came in there. They were so excited. But I talked about what happens to the nerd in life and what happens to the cool guy. At first, everybody wanted to be a cool guy. By the end of the lecture, everybody wanted to be a nerd. Because, you know, we don't talk about what are the consequences of the things that you do in life. Mm. And so many of the lessons, the valuable lessons that we used to teach children, you're not supposed to talk about that stuff anymore. Maybe it has some kind of religious or moral overtone, and everything is equal now. Therefore, you can't advocate one thing over another. But think about something like families, the family structure. In Black families in America, children who grow up with only a mother, 45% poverty rate. Only a father, 36% poverty rate. Both a mother and a father, 12% poverty rate. That's pretty dramatic. So to say that there's no difference, that every situation is exactly the same, actually is not borne out when you look at the statistics. Also, you know, when you're looking at poverty, you know, there was a very well-known study done by the Brookings Institute mm-hmm. and said that there are three things that you can do to reduce your likelihood of living in poverty to 2 to 3% or less. Number one, finish high school. Number two, get married. Number three, wait until you're married to have children. You know, we used to know that. That was almost like natural information. And now it's a big deal. has become controversial. But, you know, it doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter any of those things. Just do those things. And what we need to get back to is the American can-do attitude, not making excuses. I'll tell you, my mother was probably the wisest person I ever knew. She had less than a third grade education, got married at age 13, had to work very hard. But the thing about her, and perhaps the most valuable thing she passed on to me and my brother, don't make excuses. And anytime we made an excuse for anything, the next thing out of her mouth was a poem called Yourself to Blame. And the next question out of her mouth was, do you have a brain? And if the answer was yes, then you could have thought your way out of it. It doesn't matter what Mary or Susan or Bob or anybody else said or did. And when you grow up that way, it makes a profound difference. And that's the way it used to be in America, when we had the can-do attitude, which is rapidly being replaced with the what can you do for me attitude. And it's very detrimental. And I think we have to talk about it, and we have to be forceful about it, and we have to present the data and the facts. Otherwise, you know, the left will manage to convince people otherwise.
That's so smart. And it's getting even worse than that, which is people want revenge now, which is even worse. And that's worse than wanting stuff. They want almost revenge for something that wasn't even done to them. Dr. Carson, it's called Created Equal. Just anything else about the book you want us to know?
I just want people to take away the fact that we, the American people, are not each other's enemies. And we have to stop allowing ourselves to be manipulated into thinking that we're enemies. It's the only thing that will completely destroy our nation. A house divided against itself cannot stand. Jesus said it. It was repeated by Abraham Lincoln, and it's as true today as it was then.
Amen. Dr. Carson, author of the phenomenal new book, Created Equal. Everyone go pick up a copy. Dr. Carson, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Great to see you. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Please support The Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.